WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. This is a special sports presentation on the Beaver Radio Network. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network. Every Wednesday, starting at 6, the Coach's Huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
Down low, left corner for Owen Sillinger. It's stolen away from him. Turned over, Iarullo shoots and scores! Alex Iarullo! A gift from Michigan Tech, and he buries it.
The Tom Ceratori Show with Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, and Kelly Schultz. Stop by for a cold beer and the best wings in town, and we might just pick up your tab. You're home for the Beavers for 23 years. The Beaver Radio Network is WMIS-FM 92.1, The River.
Well, hello there, and welcome. Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Sorry, I had all these buttons and knobs turned where they needed to be for last night. Men's hockey season starts their season Friday. The Tom Ceratori Show is back. Tom, welcome.
Hey, Schultz. I'm having a hard time here. Maybe because of my talking piece is on the other side right here. I'm used to the other, you know. I mean,
you
somehow,
can flip it around.
Might have to flip it around.
You can do that.
No.
I'll watch you. I'll just...
Well, that's one way to do it.
That's not the correct way to do that.
That's hilarious. It took me a little while to figure that out in my broadcasting
career.
Schultz,
I'm way more comfortable right here like that. Thanks, pal.
First show of the year.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
I'll admit to you, Tom, being 70 degrees today.
Unbelievable.
I'm not ready for hockey to be starting. By tomorrow when it's 25 or whatever the heck it's going to be, I'll be ready for hockey to start by the weekend.
Well, I'm talking to Greg Powers, and he's here today, Arizona State's coach. I go, you might have a 30-degree change, too, like we have a 30-degree change. But his is a 118 to maybe 90 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, our change is always a little drastic, isn't it, guys?
It is, but at least it's good timing for hockey season. It will make it feel a little bit more like hockey, although it's expected to warm up. But I'm guessing you and all the guys are ready to go.
Yeah, it's time, Biff. It's always a little long off season, but it's obviously an off season that you want, you need. But conversely, it's when I get after the Nagel, when the Nagel's over, it's like, okay, I'm a little bored. You get dialed in.
What are the preseason rules as far as how often, how long, and such that you guys can be working on the ice?
Well, first off, can I comment on – I might have to dive into Biss's.
Hey, Biss, you just put your sleeve right in the cream sauce.
Yeah, he did. No, I don't know. I think you might have missed it.
That's typical. Yeah, you can help yourself. Don't those nachos look good?
Those chips are awesome.
Yeah.
Schultz, yours are a little different, though, I think. You got a little,
did you get a little
pork with you?
Yes.
Anyway, we have to talk right here. I'm mesmerized by the food here. What'd you say, Schultz?
NCAA rules. How often and when can you guys start getting on the ice?
Well, basically, when school starts, you got 4 hours a week on the ice, 4 hours a week lifting and meeting. So, basically, it's 8 hours. It's 8 hours when school starts, and then right around October. What was last Saturday?
October 1st.
That's when we could go. We're 100% full speed ahead.
And when you say 100%, what does that mean? You're
20 practicing? Hours a week.
Okay.
Which is, you never even come close to 20 hours a week.
Generally speaking, you have 2 hour practices, maybe
not
max?
Even that. No, not even that. I haven't went 2 hours in years.
Okay. So you.
So you have. We'll just say if you had 2 hours practices. Let's just pretend. If you had 2 hour practices, that's 4 times 2 is 8 hours. The games are, I think, count as 2 hours. There's 12 hours. Then you lift. You only lift 2 days a week. There's 14. you just can't even come close to your 20 hours. It's just, you know, and we have maybe 75, 80-minute practices max. So it just, we don't even come close to 20 hours a week during the season. Never have, never will. You just can't be with your guys that long.
How about the preseason? How does that compare then? Are you pushing it because there's only so much time? You're maximizing that?
You maximize your 8 hours, 100%, because they're in that weight room 4 days a week.
Well, and can they be in the weight room on their own?
Yes. This is all structured activity.
Right. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, they're working out every day of the week, right?
Yeah, captain's practices don't count either.
Right, on the ice.
This is structure. And it's a great rule because what it does, it keeps coaches away from their kids basically in the off season, where some coaches, they'd go full speed ahead, and it's just too much for them. I mean, I would never do it because they need the rest, but some coaches are nuts, and they would do it.
How has this preseason changed just with the number of new bodies that you have and new minds that you need to educate in the Beaver hockey way and the Tom Cerruttori way?
Well, it just is what it is, but there's no doubt are we a little behind right now? Absolutely we're a little behind. We've got a lot of new guys, but Rome wasn't built in a day. And we need video, and we need to play, and we just need to, you know what, are we in midseason form right now? Not a chance. We don't even know our team. But neither is Arizona State.
And they played last week.
Yeah, and you just have to, the bottom line is our rules are the same for everybody. Now, if you're a veteran team, of course you're going to be farther ahead, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Experience with me, like I've been through this so many years, it is what it is.
Well, you'll have your ebbs and flows, obviously, of who you lose. And I think, obviously, the biggest question mark, you lose arguably the best forward line that you've had in the D1 era. All those points are gone. And that's probably the big question from fans is, offensively, who's going to fill in those gaps?
Hey, it's going to be by committee. We got to manufacture offense by committee. And we have a lot of guys. Doug Can here.
Keep talking.
Oh, I got to keep talking. Okay. So, can you hear me here, Dougie? Okay. I'll just keep talking.
Committee, you said, though. Committee. I mean, because obviously those are big skates to fill,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, but it's just part of it. It's all part of it. Obviously, guys every year step to the plate. And guys will step to the plate, Biff. It's just the way it is. And with increased playing time, with increased minutes, guys take it. It takes care of itself. Is it going to be easy? No. We're going to have to do a lot of little things well. But at the end of the day, we've got an experienced defensive quarterback and our experienced goaltender. So, again, I don't get too worried about it. But, no, I mean, I can't sit there and I don't have a crystal ball to tell you exactly how everything's going to go.
Why is hockey the only sport that on your first official day of practice people are playing games?
Well,
that doesn't happen in football. It doesn't happen in basketball. It doesn't happen anywhere else.
I guess it is weird. That's a good question, Schultzy. And I don't know how to answer that other than we do have our 4 hours a week, our 8 hour a week rule, but 4 hours on the ice for the whole, you know, really until school starts. So we actually have a little, we're more ready to go than you think, though. I think it's fine is all I'm getting at.
Before that 4 hours a week rule was added, though, teams were still playing icebreaker games, which, by the way, we've got some news on that coming up later on in the show. They're still playing exhibition games on the first official day of practice.
Yeah, but we used to have the 2 hours. I think, like, I can't remember how many years ago we went from 2 hours a week to 4 hours a week. But it is. To me, Schultzy, all that stuff is irrelevant when both teams have to abide by the same rules. That's how I look at it.
Well,
football's a different world. That's a physical, like seriously, that's different. I mean, there's nothing as demanding as football from a physical standpoint.
It's not like it used to be where you guys would just be getting together with the team and you'd play your first games. Now at least you get some time with them.
We've always had time. But again, like, we've always had the 2 hours, and now we went to 4 hours, like I said, three, four, five years ago. I can't remember, Biss, but to me it's all about the rules, and the rules are the same for everybody. So does it really matter? If you practice 10 hours and the other team practice 10 hours, nobody has an advantage. That's where I'm coming from.
Speaking of rules, are there any rule changes this year?
Oh, boy. I'm not the best with some of these rule changes, but there is. And
the biggest one? Once the referees leave the ice, the game is over.
They didn't actually say that, did they?
Yes.
Did they? Wow.
And the other one is like, and I might have it wrong a little bit, but like, they're trying to get everybody off the, like, 23 minutes. When the 23 minutes hits, both teams have to be off the ice. If somebody's still skating around, you get a 2-minute two-minute minor.
Duluth and Arizona State had that last week.
Yeah.
This is pregame you're talking about?
Yes. They want people off the ice, and you know, so there's that.
So, yeah, Duluth and Arizona State last Saturday started 4-on-4.
And then we've
because they both hung out too long.
Yeah, there was
three
guy
from each team.
There was some posturing going on, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, yeah, the people who have to wait till they're the last ones to leave the ice.
The games, the superstition stuff. Oh yeah,
funny.
So there's a lot of other things too, from contact to the head, from hitting from behind. It doesn't necessarily, like, you can have a major and not be kicked out. Take a look at Tech last year in the NCAA tournament when Hallinan got that penalty. Yep. He got booted. Should never have been booted. And I'll look at over the course of that. And Schultz, you've been around as long as, I mean, now you're as much of a veteran as anybody. When they instituted probably the hitting from behind rule, they wanted, it was more of a safety factor. Well, now what happens, I haven't seen too many intent to injure, contact to the heads, or really hitting from behind. So now basically you can it still be a major, but you're not getting a game misconduct.
Well, and you could see how that happens. I mean, when we played in the era and they had to make that to change culturally within the game, it was going to take a while for it to be the norm not to kind of have that hit. And not necessarily that you were out to hurt people, but it certainly was a lot more physical, where it took a little bit of time. And now that, you know, this generation's used to the stop sign on the back
of the
jersey.
Well, they are, but I have a problem with hitting from behind because I watch the NHL, and they live by a different standard. And my problem with the hitting from behind, it is what it is. I mean, it's a safety thing. But the bottom line is the onus, in some regard, has to go to the puck carrier, because our game has changed so much. And we generate offense right now, all of us do, by cutting back and creating space for ourselves. But so the bottom line is, if you're ready to create contact and you're ready to initiate, and then immediately what happens as you're initiating and there's a cutback, now there's going to be a hit from behind. You can't stop. So in the NHL, it's not a penalty because the onus is on the puck carrier.
Right.
And at our level, the onus is on the initiator. Well, if you're going to make contact and they cut back immediately, to me it shouldn't be a penalty. But it is at our level. It is what it is. So now that at least they're saying it's not going to be a game misconduct, but it's still a five. And that to me is a flagrant penalty for somebody who really unintentionally tried to do something.
The Tom Cerutori Show here tonight on the Beaver Radio Network. Beaver men will open up their season Friday and Saturday as they will host Arizona State. We'll come back and going to break down the roster a little bit. Tom's going to eat some wings, and Biss and I are going to eat some nachos. We'll be back. It's the Tom Cerutori Show at the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
When you don't have time to go to lunch, let Jimmy John's deliver lunch to you. With Jimmy John's, we can get a freaky fresh sandwich to you freaky fast. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com.
At Jimmy John's, we want your sandwich to arrive freaky fast, so it's freaky fresh. So we only deliver within 5 minutes of our stores, and not farther. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com. 5 minutes is not a guaranteed delivery time. Actual delivery times will vary.
Whether your team is champions of the universe or can't tackle their way out of a paper bag, Lakeview Liquor and First City Liquor of Bemidji have the refreshments you need to keep cheering them on. Stock up with Bemidji's largest selection of off-sale wine, liquor, and beer at Lakeview Liquor on Lake Bemidji's South Shore and First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest. Text CHEERS to 218-444-1037. That's CHEERS to 218-444-1037. And great deals are just a text away. First City Liquor and Lakeview Liquor of Bemidji.
It's every day made better at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. Isn't it time to start taking care of you and your health? Get into a saltwater spa and put your body and mind at ease with minimal chemicals and water that is much easier on you without the effects of chlorine. Or get into a sauna and sweat away the bad toxins and fight off those nasty viruses. We have plenty of options, so stop by and see us at Hot Spring Hot Tubs of northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Tartan.
Hi, Dan the GM man.
And Sam the Chevy man.
We are here to let you know that Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji has been awarded Business of the Year by the Bemidji Chamber.
Also, we have received the Director's Choice Award from the Bemidji United Way.
We would like to thank all of our loyal customers and partners who support us and our community. Remember, Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji for all your automotive needs.
Chevy, find new roads. Donlinger.
Chevrolet Buick.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern and the Tom Ceratori Show and the Coach's Huddle. Ross Armour will join us later on in the hour, and then at 7, Beaver Director of Athletics Britt Lauritsen will join us. There's a bunch of stuff going on campus this week with football.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, Shrine Game, Affinity Plus Family Day at the Chet on Saturday. So lots of stuff going on. We'll visit with Britt coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Tom, your roster is about as split up as evenly as you can with each class. Obviously, a handful of fifth-years helps that matter as far as the senior depth. And quite honestly, with who you graduated from last year's senior group, you needed some more experience on this team, didn't you?
Yeah, we did, Schultzy. I mean, the bottom line is trying to balance out classes, looking at who you're losing. And we did. We needed to bring in some experience, and we did.
What's that process like?
It's not fun. It's not easy. And do I like it? No. But it's the reality of our world right now.
Well, who are they? Do you initiate that? Do the players initiate? I mean, the players say, I'm entering the transfer portal. What happens after that?
Then it's free agency. Bottom line, it's free agency then. They're in the portal. It's free agency.
So it's like you're recruiting, except, I mean, it's, I guess it's not really much different then, is it?
No,
you're just trying to get them to come here, right?
Yeah, it's free agency.
And so who did you get?
We got Jackson Judding, and we've got Mitchell Martin, and we got Caden Pickering.
Okay, so
and
three.
Jackson's got 3 years of eligibility, and Caden and Mitch are fifth-year seniors. Going to, you know, actually, Caden's going to grad school, getting his MBA, and Mitch is getting a second major in economics.
St. Lawrence, Canisius, and Colorado College.
You got it.
Forwards, defense?
All forwards.
All forwards.
Because that's what they graduated.
Well,
yeah.
Well, again, that was the big question mark. It's kind of, it comes full circle for you. Every year is different, as you've noticed. But, I mean, a year ago, I think we were talking about goaltending. And,
yeah.
You know, the question mark's there. And, obviously, you've got some goaltenders. And your defense is probably your strength, wouldn't you say?
Big time.
I mean, it's from experience.
Big time, Schultz. Or, yes, absolutely. Because with, with Rosie, Will, and Lufty, I mean, there are three horses right there that have eaten a lot of minutes over the course of their career.
How are those guys seniors already?
Jeez, it seems like already. I'm thinking,
fast.
They're still on the team. It seems like they've been here forever because all of them really stepped in day one and have been regulars for
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
Is there anything like experienced defensemen in D1 college hockey?
You need it. It's a specialized position, as you know, Schultz.
Rookies just get exposed.
Well, it just takes a while. It's a lot easier for a forward. You're 100% on. It's a lot easier for a forward to emerge than a defenseman. There's a lot of pressure on a defenseman.
How about players that the fans haven't seen yet, like incoming freshmen, or maybe some players that just didn't see the ice last year?
I think you just got to let it play out. I mean, we like a lot of our freshmen, and obviously players who are coming back. There's going to be opportunity. And, to me, to talk too much about it right now, might be good from a media standpoint, but I don't know if I'd be doing any justice for the players.
They haven't played yet.
Yeah.
Well, how many are there?
Well, we have 11 new players.
11 new players. Yeah. How many freshmen then? Is that 8?
I think so,
yeah. Yeah,
probably.
Okay. I mean, so that's obviously a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I have no problem saying it. So far in the preseason, and obviously, again, I've seen, as a head coach, 22 seasons of this. We have a good freshman class. It's good. I mean, these guys are good hockey players. Now, how quick are they going to be, obviously regular contributors are, or I'll even go one step further and say, are they going to be 15, 16, 17, 18 minute, a game players? Who knows? But they're good hockey players, and we're in good hands in the future.
We'll talk about them, I think, in 2 weeks. Do our kind of one-time segment about junior hockey and the emergence of the North American League. And it always used to be the USHL was the absolute top of the heap. And the North American League has certainly made a lot of strides. So we'll talk about that and these freshmen once they play a couple of games. But I do want to shift a little bit. This will be the first opening game without RH. It's going to be different. It'll be very, very different. Do you remember the first time you met RH?
Yeah.
Prior to you transferring
here? Oh, for sure. It was that he spoke at the Greenway in 1981. He spoke at the Greenway, our hockey banquet. And it was, I think if I remember, it wasn't the high school. It was the high school and all youth hockey at the arena in Coleraine in 1981.
Do you have any idea the?
Oh, yeah. And then Frank, you know what? I might be wrong there. Do you know what's crazy when Frank played here? I'm wrong. Or am I wrong? Yeah. That same year, during the year, Frank played at Bemidji, and I came to watch a game and stayed with Frank. I actually was in. Frank brought me in the locker room, and Coach let me be in the locker room between periods, and I watched Coach do his thing and Frank and everything, you know.
How cool is that?
It was cool.
How old were you?
Probably 17 or 16.
Could you imagine doing that as a coach yourself, letting a 17-year-old into the...
Well, we do if it's a recruiting visit, but back in those days, it was a different world,
right,
guys.
Right.
And my brother Frank was playing, and Frank came back, and he was, you know, and he came back to Bemidji, and he was backing up Scanning, and he was going to be a coach. I'll never forget, Frank was in the locker room taking notes from Coach, because, I mean, it was like that. He was going to be a coach. My brother was going to be a coach, and he was just taking notes in between periods. Like, wow. He was going to school. Like he wasn't just listening. It was crazy.
Well,
and
he was
I sat
playing.
There listening.
He was
yeah,
playing,
playing
and taking notes.
He's on his pads and taking
wow.
notes.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Well, Frank was, like, he was into it. And I was just in it. I think Frank wanted me to be exposed to it. And he had no coach had command of the room, that's for sure.
I'm still trying to picture that. Frank taking notes. That's weird in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, if you want, you love something.
And your brother's in the locker room with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure he said, Coach, can my brother comment in? Yeah, he didn't care.
Sure.
Do you remember your first conversation with him when you wanted to transfer back here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, kind of. And he was great about it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it'll be different.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us have been to a game without RH's presence, so.
Well, the last half of the year last year.
Well, right, yeah. Right.
You know, but like Schultz said, the first.
First opening night. Yeah.
There was understandably exceptional turnout for his celebration of life this summer. But just having people stop me even before the event even started and just start telling stories of who are you, and I'm like, I don't even know who this person is that's talking to me right now as a player from the 60s or 70s or whenever.
We had close to 200 alums there.
That was a fabulous turnout.
Yeah, and you did a great job. Phenomenal.
That was a puddle.
Well.
I was.
You were awesome, Schultz.
Yeah, I mean, it comes
awesome.
With the territory, man. I mean, you're human, right?
Schultz, wasn't easy what you did, buddy. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And you were a rock star, pal.
Just goes to show his impact on so many lives. Because there were a bunch of non-hockey people that were there, too. And he had so many different things that he was involved with. That I had no idea he was involved with Bemidji Leeds.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Benson.
Oh, yeah.
Had no idea.
I had a good buddy of mine in town. We went at dinner last week, him and his wife and my wife, and he said, I'm so glad I went to the celebration of life. He goes, I'm so glad. He goes, it was awesome. And he brought it up, we talked about it, and I go, I know, I'm glad you were there, I said. He goes, it was awesome.
Well, an awesome man.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt, and I think, it was special that you were able to do it around the Nagel.
Yeah, it was all, that's the way we wanted it, that's the way Lou wanted it, And looking back at it, guys, you know this as well as I do. When it happened in December, right around Christmas was not a good time. We'll see, and again, no disrespect to our state, but we don't even know from weather and everything else. And it just it wouldn't have done Coach Peters justice.
That's true.
To have that thing right around December. We, you know what, Lou was right on, and you know, all of us, it was a good move to do it with the Nagel. It was perfect.
It was hard for the family to not have closure for that long, but it was the best for everybody else.
Yes. And he was a person, like, impacted so many people. So it's bigger than life, guys. You know what I mean? It was. Yeah.
Yeah, and that you were able to live stream it, and so those who weren't able to make it could see it. It was worthy of RH, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Tom Cerutori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. We're at the Tavern every Wednesday night. Ross Armour, senior or fifth-year captain, will join us later on in the hour, and also Beaver Director of Athletics, Britt Lauritsen, talking about everything else going on this weekend. Shrine Weekend and Hall of Fame Weekend and all sorts of stuff going on with the Beavs. It's the Coach's Huddle and the Tom Cerutori Show at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Before or after this week's BSU Beavers game, get your fill of pizza, pasta, beer, and wings at the Green Mill Restaurant in Bemidji. Or if you'd rather order takeout or delivery, take advantage of the Green Mill's awesome takeout and delivery specials, such as Friday and Saturday's family meal deal, or Sunday's large one-topping deep-dish pizza for $14.99. Look for menu details online at greenmill.com and call 218-444-1875 to order your very own Green Mill delivery of the game. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. I'm Alan Zutz, a financial advisor with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the next steps for your unique situation. Call Alan, Sandra, or Rice at 218-444-0202 to get started. That's Alan Zutz, Thrivent Financial, 218-444-0202.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tom Cerutori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Beaver men's hockey will open up their season Friday night hosting Arizona State. Arizona State played at Duluth last weekend. They just stayed. I think the mini golf course in the parking lot here has done great business for them all week. Every time I've driven by, I've seen a lot of Arizona State colors in that mini golf course.
Got to do something, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a nice week here for
them. Guarantee some of those guys. I was talking to Greg earlier, too. A couple of those guys must have the course record right there because they are getting a lot of absolutely.
It's not every day you get to go on a hockey trip and play mini golf all week. Is what it is. Week one. I know the answer to this, but do you even really care what Arizona State's going to be doing or just worried about the Beavs?
We're more worried about us, Schultz. We obviously watched the video last week, but we're just randomly just trying to, like, I think I said it last night. You know, we're coaching a lot right now, and we're worried about us. And probably the last couple of years when you've been old and experienced, you're managing your team.
Well, you only have so many non-conference games, and not necessarily all of them at the beginning of the season, but what do you do as far as who you try to plug in to see what they can do here in one of them here opening weekend?
Good question, Biss. I mean, you might look at it as non-conference, but I look at a non-conference game as still an important game. They're all important. So I don't know if one's – I mean, I guess conference games are probably –
in theory more important, but in the big picture, they're all important when it comes to a pairwise and everything else. So when you only play so few games, 34, they're important. But you also have to see who can play, and you want to give guys opportunity. They've earned that. They deserve that. So you got to figure it out, and you got to do what you got to do. And sometimes you don't want to say too much before the series. We want to make sure that Friday night takes care of itself, and then you figure out what you want to do on Saturday, because you just don't know. You just never know. Every night brings a different challenge. So that's kind of how I look at it. But there's certain guys we'll probably tell them, hey, you're going to go on Saturday, maybe not on Friday, or you're going to split or whatever. But we haven't went there yet. We'll actually have a long talk tomorrow about that as a staff, how we want to go about the weekend. And we haven't talked about it yet, and I don't want to talk about it right now, because those are the questions you just don't know, and you want to make sure that if you're going to say something, you've thought things through. And I know I've tried to think about it over the course of the last week, what we want to do and how we want to do it. But you also want practice to play out a little bit to see how they're doing and what's going on.
Well, the lineup makes itself in January and February.
Absolutely.
Now's the only time you're really, for lack of a better term, throwing a dart up on the board.
Well, and the kids, you don't want to. I mean, it's a fine line between playing guys and then, you know, you can also crush their spirit. But it's just it's a fine line. It's hard. It's not easy, guys. That's the thing. Putting the lineup together is not easy.
You know, you got to try to find the chemistry. Yeah. I mean, defensively, you know who matches up probably better because they've been around for the most part. But forwards, that's, again, a mixed bag probably.
Well, even defensively, I mean, we have four new defensemen. We have some defensemen who weren't probably playing a multitude of minutes last year. So we still have a lot of decisions on the back line as well. We're not worried about Will or Lufty or
right.
Rosie.
Yeah, it's
not
about but that doesn't mean Elias and Will are going to be together necessarily.
Right. Yeah, and well, they are going to be.
But there you go.
But at the end of the day,
every game of their career.
And they're going to play 28 minutes. But at the end of the day, we have you play more than three defensemen is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
You mentioned the 34 game schedule. That will not be the case next year. News broke last night that you and North Dakota will be hosting the Icebreaker next year with Wisconsin and Army coming to town. The Icebreaker is exempt game, so they don't count against your 34 game limit. How does that work?
Well,
what determines who gets to host that thing?
Well, basically, in a nutshell, they put there's a new process with the Icebreakers, which they are exempt games, Schultz, as you mentioned. And actually, I can't mention it right now because I probably shouldn't have. Yeah. Anyway, what they're supposed to do right now is this year with Denver and Air Force and obviously North Dakota and Bemidji State next year, there's two schools that are going to host the Icebreaker. In the past, there's been one school. The problem you have when one school hosted the Icebreaker, the 3 o'clock game or 4 o'clock game would have 300 people.
Right.
And then, of course, the game at 7 o'clock would be, you know, a good crowd. So why, when you can have two programs basically within an hour or two, like this year, Air Force and Denver, they're an hour apart. North Dakota and Bemidji, an hour and 45. Why wouldn't you have basically two teams host the Icebreaker and have two full houses? That's kind of what
sense.
Makes sense.
Well,
and we've changed that, and it was a good move. And North Dakota obviously called us and said they want to host it. And would you guys go in with us? And we said absolutely.
And as opposed to, I mean, you're going to see some teams you probably wouldn't otherwise get
right on
schedule.
Right on, Biss. And it's just, it's going to be fun.
Well, obviously, the last time you played Wisconsin was a national tournament a couple years ago. Army was back when they were
our
in
first
the CHA,
year,
right?
Our first year D1. 2000.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think right now out loud. I was an assistant coach tonight. And,
well, they were
in 99-2000. I think 99-2000. I might have either 99-2000. Or 2000-2001.
First year of the CHA, right? Because they were in...
For 1 year, I think,
right.
Biss.
Yeah, right.
I think
you're
spot on.
I think I read that North Dakota has not played Army in 67 years.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you were right on that. I read that, too, and went, really? I mean, you'd think somewhere along the line they'd run into each other, but...
I think it's a great event. Gets people geeked up for hockey a week early.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're playing the 13th and 14th, so it's actually at a traditional time, but...
Didn't this used to always be in Alaska?
No.
Wasn't there a kickoff event there, or was that something?
Well,
that's basketball, isn't it?
Maybe. You know what? They've also had things in Alaska, too, though, over the years. Yes, there has been things in Alaska, so, but not an icebreaker.
They have plenty of ice up there plenty early.
Well, did this throw? This didn't really necessarily throw a wrinkle in your schedule, though. You've got most of the schedule figured
We still are at 34 games, even though we could have two games. But I'm not going to add two games unless they favor us, because it's a. You need some buys. You need some weekends off. Well, yeah, so I'm not. Out. And these one thing about these icebreaker games, they're home games. So yes, we could play two more games, but I'm not hyper about playing two more games unless it benefits us from the standpoint of. Travel at home or easy travel, or you just can't play games to play games.
Can you pass something along to Don Lucia for me?
Yeah.
Week two buys are pointless.
See, I disagree. I love them. Just so
I understand
you know.
You get an extra, you get to teach off of what they did in the game.
Yeah, I like them.
I get it. I want a bye week in January and February.
Well, we have one, but we have an automatic bye the last weekend of January or the first week of February, Schultze. Either
I
one of those
one
days.
In both.
We have one though, right there. So I'm at peace with that, because you need one at that particular time. I like our schedule this year, because especially when we're young like this, I don't know where we're at, but this will give me a good indication, and our staff a good indication this weekend, and now we can work on certain things in the off week. I really like having a week two off.
Well, I think the fans are excited about the schedule because you got all the Minnesota teams on it. I mean, you know, you got St. Cloud, you got Duluth, home and homes, and home and home, of course, with North Dakota.
Yeah.
The U's coming even on New Year's Eve, so you got them all.
Yeah.
How far out are you on your non-conference schedule? 2 years? 3 years?
2 years, I think, Schultze. I mean, for sure, obviously, we're done next year, which is 23-24. 24-25. I think we're done as well, so now we're on 25-26. I have to look. I can't remember. For sure, if it's 24-25, we have six games. We have six games scheduled in 24-25 for sure. Actually, I think we're done. I think we all have – I'd have to – I don't have my file in front of me, but we either have six or all eight, so we might be at 25-26 right now.
Well, then, so the icebreaker calls comes in. Does that not impact you, or you had an open weekend?
Well, we knew this 2 years ago. We knew it way ahead of everybody else.
Okay. Because, I'm like, doesn't that throw your schedule?
We couldn't announce it. We've known this for over a year.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a huge fan of two different teams and back-to-back nights. So I need to memorize two teams instead of one.
Oh, it'll be fun.
But at least I'm at home both games.
And I like that you're getting teams that you would never see
Absolutely.
Come to town.
I agree with you, yes.
Ross Armour will be joining us here momentarily. Fifth-year senior, been there, done that. Seems like he has been here forever.
Well, he has. It's his fifth year.
yeah.
I mean, 5 years is a long time, Schultze.
I'm going on 19 kind of, here,
hey,
I know.
Hey, 5 years are like in a sports like dog years, isn't it, guys? You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty rare. Not so much written anymore, but with COVID and all. But
no, for sure. I mean, there's a lot like Roscoe, and I'll say it. Ross is a fifth year. We got Mitch Martin, and we got Caden Pickering. But I'd rather play college hockey than, some of the other minor pro next year. I mean, it's awesome.
Well, what a great
college
experience,
hockey's
too,
great.
Right? I mean, just the
college
experience.
College hockey's awesome. And, these guys are treated well. The competition's outstanding. To me, it's a no-brainer. Some of these guys are getting their master's degree, or they're getting a second major, whatever. And you got a guy like Ross. His role is going to be a lot different this year, and he's going to be in an opportunity where I'm telling him to go over the boards a lot.
Safe for me to assume he'll be your number one faceoff guy?
I think that's pretty accurate.
Do you know who that number two guy is going to be?
Well, Yuri's a centerman. Jackson Judding's really good on faceoffs. Juts. Yuri, we got to let it play out, but we like right now our top three centers. Our top three centers are really good.
Last year, there were so many times you'd throw one of those two guys out there and double shift the center, win the draw, go off.
Oh, yeah.
And those two guys just won so darn many of them.
Well, it was nice last year to have a lefty-righty combination. Owen on the on the left dot, Ross on the right dot.
It's underappreciated part of the game, but we certainly have talked about it enough. I mean, from a face-off perspective, that if you follow hockey, you know how important face-offs can be.
It's hard to not talk about it when you look at the stats afterwards and you're like, Owen Sillinger took 32 faceoffs tonight.
It was nuts, wasn't that?
Yeah. Yeah, and he won 30.
He might have taken more faceoffs than Matt Reed did. I know he did.
And he won a huge percentage of those. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And Reeder, you know, I overplayed Reeder too. But Owen might have taken more taps during a game than Reeder.
As a centerman, that would have driven me crazy. I mean, losing that many, I'd go to the bench and say, you got to have somebody else do it. After losing like four faceoffs to the same guy, I'd be like, I can't beat that guy at the faceoff. Somebody else try. Because, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of players that Owen faced and that faced Ross that go, God, how can I win one of these things?
Yeah.
What's the secret? What's the art to being good?
I think what you need to do is talk to Ross on that, but there's no question. Repetition, I think quickness. It's strategy, but you got to be dialed in. You got to really love it. And Ross can give you more of the ins and outs of exactly what he does, because Ross is a really good faceoff guy. And I think that's a better question for him. Because when I played, I was a centerman too. I went cross hand. I just wanted to go back with everything because I felt I had more leverage and more strength on cross hand. I wanted to get underneath the other centerman's stick. I wasn't as worried about getting a wide base. Some guys want a wide base. But I was more on quickness and getting underneath the stick and winning everything to my backhand. I would never try to win on my forehand, because I think if you want to try to win on your forehand, you got to have really good technique, because you're not going to have better leverage or strength on your forehand. Your leverage and your strength is on your backhand. But again, yeah, everybody's got their own little nuances of how they want to play, you know, the game and how they take faceoffs. And Ross has it figured out pretty darn good.
Well, and a lot of, like anything in hockey, hand-eye coordination. I mean, you're keying in on the linesman who's dropping the puck.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're spot on. We talked about it today. And not necessarily the centerman as much as the other guys, but you're almost like a defensive lineman where you're watching the snap of the
ball. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is. Like, we talked to our guys. We brought that up. It's like you're like a defensive lineman. So much of face-offs, too. There's an onus on the centerman. Don't get me wrong, fellas, but...
Oh, everybody's got a role.
Like these are five-man units, and for sure three-man units. Three-man units in the offensive zone, five-man units in the defensive zone. Everybody plays a role in the defensive zone, and
or they won't be playing much.
Or if they are playing much, somebody's got to take the bull by the horns right there and win these faceoffs, because we want to get out of the zone too. So I'm talking in the D zone there too.
Quickly, what can you tell us about Arizona State?
They got a good hockey team, and they're deep. They got a plethora of transfers, of some good transfers, and their program is they're dialed in, and they start in their own rink either next week or the weekend after. And it's going to be a good weekend of hockey.
National
guys.
Tournament team? What, last year or the year
2 years
before?
Ago.
That's what I thought. They were there. So
or 3 years ago. 3 years ago. 3 years ago. Because 2 years ago, they played basically the Big Ten as a road team, if you remember, during COVID.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and now they're still independent.
Yeah.
After all that, and they've been able to make it successful.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's a
state-of-the-art building has a lot to do with it.
And it's a destination school.
Right. No one's going to argue about going to Arizona State to play either, I wouldn't think.
No, it's kind of like, really, it's like Notre Dame football.
Right.
That's kind of how I compare it. So if anybody can go independent, they can.
I'd vote for going back there. I love that trip.
Especially in February.
I got to pack shorts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom, best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Tom Cerutori Show continues with fifth-year Captain Ross Armour next, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
The Gigazone from Paul Bunyan Communications delivers the fastest, most reliable internet you can get. Upgrade to the secure fiber optic speed you need. Fiber-powered internet with Gigazone Blast Wi-Fi lets you stream HD video in one room, download an album in another, Snapchat in here, or dominate the latest game in here all at once. That's the fast, reliable power of fiber. Get in the Gigazone. Featuring Gigazone Blast Wi-Fi. Contact Paul Bunyan Communications today.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
ready to leave your garage like a NASCAR driver, but you can't get your garage door up?
If you can't get it up, call Gaslin. Gaslin Garage Door.
With fully stocked vehicles, they're ready for almost any situation. And that means they can get it up. Call Gaslin Garage Door, and there's a good chance one trip is all they'll need. Call Gaslin Garage Door.
Call 556-1517. Gaslin Garage Door.
Hi, my name is Gail Reese, General Manager at Pepsi Nye Bottling of Bemidji. We're looking for a few individuals with a CDL or those looking to obtain one. Nye Bottling is a family-owned business that's been a fixture in the Bemidji area for over 50 years. We've been extremely fortunate to have great long-term employees over the years. You could start a career here with us. Our open positions receive competitive wages and great benefits. Contact me today. I want to talk to you about joining our team. My direct line is 218-751-3847, extension 104. Hope to hear from you soon.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern and the Tom Cerutori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Schultz and Biss with you tonight. Beaver men's hockey opens up their season on Friday night against Arizona State. Fifth year senior captain Ross Armour with us. Thanks for joining us, Ross. We appreciate it.
No problems.
Is there anything like the excitement, the anticipation of week one?
Yeah, it's awesome. We're so excited to get going on Friday night and just can't wait for puck drop.
Well, hockey's a year-long sport, right? You've probably been playing on and off over the summer and just, to keep in shape. How much do you play?
I started skating in, like, July. And then just started working out, skating, doing all those things. So, yeah, just started up in July and then came here.
So a few months off anyway.
Yeah.
What is life like as a fifth-year senior where you don't have the normal course load that freshmen and sophomores and juniors have?
Yeah, it's nice. A little more relaxed for sure, but it's what I kind of wanted to do, so I'm excited.
Well, and I would guess that, obviously you're probably as comfortable as you've been as a hockey player here at Bemidji State, given how long you've been here.
Yeah.
All those other things. So do you feel like the old man in the locker room?
A little bit. I mean, still feel young a little bit, but no.
Well, you are young, but.
Yeah. It's nice to know everything that goes on in the dressing room with the coaches and whatever, but no, it's nice.
What is the age difference between you and the two other fifth years and the youngest guy on the team?
I think like 4 years.
Around well,
4 years.
Too bad.
Yeah, we're all the same age, the fifth year, so.
Well, and there's a lot who obviously go through juniors, so I think, folks don't realize that unlike, maybe the football team or any of the other sports, a freshman here in hockey is probably 21 years old.
Yeah, 21, yeah.
Yeah. Where did you play juniors?
I played in Trail, BC, in the BC
hometown.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sleep in your own bed instead of having to do the junior hockey family thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that experience?
No, it was awesome. We had two billets, and they just drove me to the rink every day. They ate all my food, but it was good.
So we're not very good at geography, but British Columbia is West Coast Canada?
Yeah, sort of, kind of, but yeah, West Coast, I'd say.
What's the capital of the province?
Victoria.
Okay. I wouldn't have known that.
He's terrible at geography.
Yeah, how big of a town is Trail?
It's around like 5,000. So I'm from Roslyn, which is like 15 minutes away. It's up the hill.
Okay.
And that's like 3,500.
Oh, so it's kind of bedroom community where there's...
Yeah, it's like Roslyn's more of like a ski touristy kind of place.
What's the biggest town near there?
Probably Nelson, which is like 45 minutes away.
What's a town that we'd know that's anywhere nearby? British Columbia.
Spokane's like 2 hours away.
Okay, all right. Vancouver?
That's like 7.
Oh, all right. Yeah. It's a little bit more of a haul.
Yeah.
Canada's big, this.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's in the same, Vancouver's in the same province, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Northern Minnesota to southern Minnesota is almost 7 hours.
Good point. So growing up, obviously hockey is innate in Canada. When did you first get hockey skates put on you?
I think I was around like 2-3 years old. My mom brought me to like an outdoor rink and then just kind of started from there. My cousins played, and he actually played in Michigan Tech, so I got to play against him in the Hockey Day in Minnesota, so that was pretty cool as well, but yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, how many times do you get to play your cousin in D1 hockey?
Outside, yeah. 30 below.
Yeah, let alone.
Yeah, freezing.
They did play indoors the next day, yeah. I remember, and the Beavers won again.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good week.
That was a good weekend.
What were your first impressions on Bemidji State when that recruiting process started, and were you like, where in the heck is this?
A little bit, but it kind of felt like home. You got the lake here. We have a lake like 20 minutes away, so felt like home. It's a smaller town as well, so just kind of felt the same as home, so that's why I decided here.
And was it Teddy, or who reached out for you initially?
Initially it was Teddy. I talked to him, and then kind of went on to Wince, and then Edzo came in, so started talking to Edzo and then ended up here.
You have officially been here forever. If you started your recruiting process with a guy who has been in the NHL now for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
you're one of the last remnants who would know Teddy probably from the team.
Yeah. Well, other than his nephew.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, and then the rest of the team via his nephew probably, right?
Yeah, we were talking with Tom about your prowess in the faceoff dot. I don't want you to give away any secrets, but what to you is your absolute strength in winning a faceoff?
I think just being on my backhand, obviously, and just obviously practicing a lot, doing repetition, going over, practicing against the guys, and doing all those things.
Have you always taken that much pride in it?
Yeah, for sure. It's a big deal, I think, and winning a faceoff, you start out with possession, so I think it's a big deal.
Have you always been a centerman?
Yeah, pretty much my whole life.
I always liked it because it used to be, and maybe not in your era because I'm old, but where you would play literally in your lane. I mean, if you were the center, you could go anywhere. And that's the only reason why I like to play center, because I could never listen well. Yeah. And so I know that's going to be hard for you to believe, Schultze. But so I was kind of a maverick, and I would go anyway.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you just have to be center. Because, I mean, if you're right wing, you got to stay on the right wing, which, of course, is so not the way it is now. Yeah. I mean, right wing, if you're right-handed, it seems like you're playing left wing almost. Yeah. From a face-off perspective, when you are playing, I mean, it's not only a big deal, but, I mean, I'm guessing, I mean, I certainly did, and I was not nearly at the level. I mean, I kept track of how I was doing, and if a guy dominated me, I told these guys before you got on that I'd go to the bench and say, I can't beat this guy. Somebody else has got to try.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty important part of your game when you're a centerman.
Yeah, for sure. You got to really bear down and make sure you get those wins.
Not really a fair fight since you and Owen were opposite hands, but who won more often than not between the two of you?
I'd have to say Owen. Owen had me on that one, but it'd go back and forth, but I think he had the upper hand.
Well, between
what made
two
him
of you?
So good?
He just got very low and just used all his strength and lower body and just won draws.
So, I mean, from a technique perspective, you know, I mean, I would certainly always use my backhand.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would depend on which face-off dot it's in, and I'm a right-handed player. Mm-hmm. You are too, right? I mean, so if you're using your backhand and it's in the right face-off dot, you're pulling it back to the board point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the left face-off dot, it would go to the center point, right? Yeah. That's what I would do anyway, because that's, I mean, if you're going backhand.
Yeah, depending on who you're going up against, if he's a righty, if he's a lefty, so just all depends on that sorts of stuff.
And this is all for fans that don't know. I mean, you're thinking of this in the 5 seconds you're about to go to the dot, right?
And yeah, you're checking out what hand he is and how he's lined up, if he's going on his forehand, if he's going on his backhand, and seeing what he's doing.
And does the team usually know? I mean, we would have some set plays, and I'd always, the guy that was getting the puck, who I intended to get the puck, made sure he saw that I was looking at him, that the puck was going to be coming his way. I don't know. I mean, do you have some signals that way?
Yeah, we obviously talk about it before the draw, what we're going to do, so everyone's on the same page.
Isn't it safe to say that there's nothing worse? You win a clean draw, and the guy misses the puck?
Yeah, I know, but that stuff happens, so.
That doesn't mean you can't let him hear about it a little bit, but.
He's not that mean, Biss.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I just remember, I mean, you win a faceoff draw, and then, I mean, you know, immediately, you know, your assignment, at least, you know, try to get in the lane because the guy's going to shoot the puck, or maybe, you know, you've set up a cross-ice pass to the other point to shoot. I mean, those are some of the things that you know after, because after the draw, then you've got something to do, right? I mean, it's not like
go
you can go to the net, or if you lose the draw, obviously, you've got a different assignment. But has there ever been a time where you said, okay, somebody else has got to take the draw here. I can't beat this guy.
Not that I remember, but I just keep trying to win draws. But I remember a couple guys last couple of years on some teams that were really good at taking draws. But you just got to bear down and figure out what's working, what's not, and go from there.
Who are your co-captains?
Co-captains?
Yes.
Kyle Luft, Elias Rosen, and Will Zamora.
Guys that have been around the
block. Yeah, I was going to say all names any Beaver fan would know.
Yeah.
How are the four of you different in how you carry out your duties as a captain?
I'd say Lufty, he's very vocal, talks a lot. And Will and Rosie are more just on the ice. They show, obviously, where they show what they can do on the ice there. So that's what I'd say.
How about, obviously this is a big transition for the offense with the loss of that top line.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, I mean, what are you looking at offensively this year? How can the team not replace, but, put up some offensive numbers?
It's just all about guys stepping up. You got Yuri, he's coming in. He looks really good. Just stepping up, playing a bigger role than he did last year. Lundy, Louie, all those guys just stepping up, and the freshmen coming in, and then we got the transfers, Jutz, Martin, and Picks. They're all great players, so yeah, those guys in, and then we're good. We'll be fine.
What's it like getting a transfer in that is older and a veteran, and veterans, you typically lean on them a little bit more, and here these are brand new guys.
Yeah. No, it's nice. Pix was the captain of St. Lawrence last year, so he knows what he's talking about. He's been around for 4 years, same as Martin. He's been around for 4 years too. So, and Jutz, he carries himself well, and he's a good skater. He shoots the puck well. He's a good centerman. So,
when did these guys get into town? So when are you able to start kind of, obviously bonding and getting more like a team?
They got in around the same time as I got in, around August, like 12th or August 15th, around there. And, started bonding right away. Jutz was actually living in my basement for a bit, so got to know him pretty good. And, he's a great guy. All of them are great guys, so just excited.
Who are your roommates?
Will Zamolik, Kyle Luft, Brad Belisle, and Carter Jones.
And I think I've seen you out at the golf course.
Yeah.
You're a golfer.
I'm a golfer. We all are.
Well, and I've seen your crew. I think you were behind us.
Yeah.
And might have been when, we were really slow one night particularly, which isn't unheard of in our group. But what's your handicap?
I'm around, a 10 to 12.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Most of the boys are around, single-digit handicaps.
Oh, so you're...
I'm not one of the best, that's for sure.
Always a challenge, but that's what the handicap system's for.
Exactly.
Right? We're all on an even playing field. But So how much golf are you able to play? Is that kind of like your secondary sport in the summertime?
In the summertime, I'm playing a lot. Usually working out, skating, and then heading to the golf course.
And you said you got here in mid-August, so was it back home then for you?
Yeah. No, I was actually up in Penticton living with my sister, and I was skating and training up there.
Is that also in British Columbia?
That's also in British Columbia. That's where Owen played.
And how far is that from Trail?
It's 3 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Like from here to the cities.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to commend all of you. You answered my foolish questions very well last night. All of you did. What has that been like now for 5 years of getting to know the fans a little bit as a freshman, and then COVID comes and now you're back in front of fans again? And what's that been like for you?
It's nice. We obviously didn't see them my junior year at all, to be honest, and then you didn't see them again last year and then this year, and it's nice knowing them and getting to meet everyone was pretty special.
Now, you had the national tournament game that I wasn't able to go to because of COVID, because they had only so many people and nobody got to see it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the stands, no one was in the stands.
Mm-hmm. There were about 20 people.
Yeah, I mean, and you score arguably one of your best goals of the your career.
Yeah.
Obviously a big one to start the game and trounce Wisconsin, which was awesome. But, I mean, in a way, I mean, obviously great, but, man, could you have imagined if it would have been the normal experience?
I know, yeah, it would have been crazy. My family probably would have been up there. But I actually had a couple buddies that were there able to make it, because you could have, like, a couple passes, so they were able to make it. One guy actually was from Trail.
Well, so you could probably hear him.
Yeah.
Right? In an empty stadium.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There were, like, 20 Beaver fans over in a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a player's perspective, I mean, you go from obviously playing in D1 hockey with a lot of different atmospheres to
nothing.
About as stale as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was that like?
It was crazy. It was so weird. You couldn't hear anything, but that's what we had to do, so it was just a grind.
Beats the alternative.
Well, yeah, right.
Not, I mean, playing at all, so.
But you heard the pipe-in noise.
No.
It had to have been a little weird.
Yeah, it was weird for sure.
I never want to hear that again.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, it seems like we're past that now, right? I mean, no mass cancellations, hopefully, knock on wood.
It's,
I mean, we know a lot more. But, yeah, that, certainly everybody, I think, feels for the college students and the high school students. You know, everybody was impacted, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, it just changes the college experience, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not how it was meant to be.
No, exactly. But it was just 1 year, so it wasn't the biggest deal. We just had to get over it and just grind.
I don't remember who it was said their favorite road trip was the two-weeker to Lake State and Bowling Green.
That was Gavin.
Right in the middle of COVID. I stayed in Sault Ste. Marie for the week.
Oh, I remember that.
That was the worst trip ever.
Oh, that was, yeah, I remember.
It was his favorite trip.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know what he was talking about that one. But.
Yeah, because you weren't able to do anything, right? I mean, now you go on a trip, but pre-COVID, I mean, you could go places and do things.
Exactly,
and
Yeah. Weren't doing much there, that's for
no,
sure.
No. Even if you could,
definitely,
there's not much to do, right?
No. Ross, thanks for joining us tonight. Best of luck this weekend this
thanks
year.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Ross Armour, fifth-year senior captain with us here tonight, the Tom Cerutori Show on the Beaver Radio Network. The archive of the spaghetti dinner, by the way, is available at beaverradionetwork.com.
All right.
So you can
go listen to it.
Listen into that.
Get to know a little bit more about the team members, because you interview everybody, right?
Everybody. All 28 of them or whatever it is.
Including the coaching staff?
Yes.
Was the support staff also included? The trainer, the equipment?
No.
All right, so coaching staff and all the players, though. I remember that
every
part
player.
Of it, where every player had to answer at least one question.
Yeah. I think I asked all of them at least one. If I'm...
Okay.
Doing a mental crossing off of their name as I ask them the question.
Right. And, you're on the spot, man.
It's only an hour.
It is only an hour.
I can talk for an hour.
Well, and again, you're with them.
No problems with that.
So, I mean, it gives you the new ones, obviously, they don't know you very well.
Even
but the
sophomore
ones.
Class, I don't know that well.
Because of the traveling?
I traveled with them
last year.
Yeah,
you did.
But we pretty much just kept our distance.
Oh.
And it's not like I'm hanging out in the locker room in the past.
True. Although that's probably going to come back a little bit, you would think, a little.
You would think.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a ton of stuff going on this week on campus. Beaver Director of Athletics, Britt Ritson, with us this evening. Britt, welcome back.
Thank you. How's it going, guys?
Awesome. You're busy.
No.
I'm not surprised you were here. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Thanks for sparing a few moments.
Oh, always for you guys. Love it.
Is it by design, Hall of Fame weekend, where virtually everything is at home?
You know, that way, I'm sure it was by design. It was not my design, but definitely. It's nice because we're able to bring back Hall of Famers, and they get a flavor of what's going on campus. So you get a little bit of everything. And selfishly, like, my parents are coming into town. It'll be their first time in Bemidji, and I think they're listening right now. So, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. But, having all of those things kind of all in one place over the weekend during Hall of Fame, like, you just get to see what being a Beaver fan is about. And our busiest weekends are the ones that I enjoy the most, because that's when our student athletes and our fans really get to interact the most. So it's good.
President Hoffman was at the Saratori Spaghetti Dinner last night, and he had the biggest smile on his face all night long. It was his first time witnessing that and what being a Beaver fan is all about. And I sent him an email last night. I said, hey, it was good to see you. And he goes, I want to be this university's number one fan. He goes, and that's going to be hard for me to do because we got some really good fans.
Mm-hmm.
They have certainly shown up at the Chet this year. Homecoming was an unbelievable experience. Please schedule homecoming always in September because that was a perfect day.
Oh, my gosh. Could we have dialed that up any better,
no.
You guys? That was awesome.
What was that like from your standpoint, first time you get to see that?
Ooh. Okay, so two thoughts there. One, Hoffman is going to be the fan to beat, truly, because if you watch him and Joy, his wife, Dr. Joy, they're on their feet almost the entire game. Like, they're hooping and hollering and everything else. Like, it's so great to see that support from the presidential level. Not every institution has that and sees that. And also watching that video of him going into the lake, loved it. It was fantastic.
Now, didn't you go into the lake, too?
I did. I completely blacked out when I went into the lake. Watching the video, I was like, God, I looked similar to John. We both just had blackout moments. But homecoming was fantastic. That was, again, just one of those things that until you experience, you really don't feel the love and support. You can try to envision it and know what that looks like, but until you see it and seeing those alums come back, the tailgate was unbelievable. I met so many folks who, that's their thing. They'll come back every year for homecoming because they want to see their former teammates or classmates, and they just want to enjoy being a Beaver fan. So, I mean, that was, I loved it. September is always going to be, in my book, the best way to go with that.
Well, and for you, I mean, the role of athletic director at any university is comprehensive. It covers a lot of different things, from obviously the various sports that you're overseeing, as well as compliance, and I mean, all those different aspects. So I'm guessing, I mean, it's still a learning curve for you here, right? I mean, you got here, what, July 1st?
Yeah, just hit the 3-month mark. So
wow.
It's a humbling experience in a lot of ways because, you know, you're entering a new space and place where you have to start over with relationships. You know, you kind of have to rebuild that bank. And learning the processes, you know, being in Minnesota and part of the Minnesota state system in and of itself is a different animal than other public institutions. And so from the administrative side of things, just learning the ropes in that respect. But, you know, also learning how, coming from my background, like, yes, I do oversee compliance, but I have a really great compliance officer who does that day to day. And being able to say, like, I trust you to do that. That is not my realm. I will help you and jump in. And for me, that's a big deal, is finding those places where when you need me in this niche, like, I'm here, I'm all for it. And then letting you do your thing. I'm not going to micromanage folks. I want them to feel empowered to do their job.
I don't know that I would envy you this week. It's Hall of Fame weekend. There's all these Beaver greats that are being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and you're like, who are all these people?
Right.
Totally.
Zuzana Tomchakova was a player while I've been here, and Kelly's been here.
Yes.
Eddie Acosta was before my time.
Oh, Eddie. He's just now going into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you talk That's about the best running
overdue.
Back ever. Yeah, not even close.
Have you heard
close.
Stories of Eddie?
I have, yes.
I was fortunate to cover his time here. He was one of the only people, and it reminds me of Adrian Peterson in a way. They'd hand him the ball. They knew it was coming on the first play of the game, and he'd go 80 yards and score a touchdown more than anybody I've ever seen. He probably had at least a dozen opening carry, long touchdown runs, it seemed. It was unbelievable. And a Bemidji kid to boot.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's coming back home. I can't believe he isn't in it, to be quite honest. But I guess, you know, there might be a time frame. But what? It's been 20 years.
Mm-hmm. It took RH Eddie like the 10 Jet. To get into the Coaches Hall of Fame. Yes.
Well, there you go.
Wow. You know, Hall of Fame to me, and especially being new, but just in general, Hall of Fame is not about us. It's about them. And so I want to honor their time for that. Like, it's their time to come and talk about anything they want to talk about, you know, share stories, talk about their experience. Like, we want to uplift that. And so, like, I'm so excited to welcome them and to meet them and to learn about them. And as we go through the years, like, I'm going to get more familiar with folks. But ultimately, hi, we love you. Thank you for being a Beaver. Here's the mic. Take your time because you've earned it. And that's what I want to do for them.
And who all do we have? I mean, you mentioned Eddie, Susanna, Tom Chikova. Oh, he's rolling his eyes. There must be a lot of them. Susanna was a women's hockey Olympic goaltender as well, correct?
She was.
Boy, I remember her dominating in between the pipes. And then Eddie, of course, as we mentioned, running back for 4 years and set every record there is. I think it's still, I mean, good luck trying to catch him with the yards carried and touchdowns and things that he had. And, okay, while Brian's looking up the whole list, what are the what's the events for them? There's a Hall of Fame induction ceremony, I'm guessing, of some sort? Or?
Yes, yeah. So Friday night, you know, we have opening Beaver hockey on the men's side. And so we'll do kind of a coach, student, alumni kind of social there.
Yep.
And so they have that opportunity. 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, we're going to do the Hall of Fame brunch. And so we'll do the induction ceremony there. Football game, halftime, they're going to have that time to be recognized in front of our fans and just invite them to enjoy that time with us. So, you know, those are kind of the big events. We'll see them, I'm sure, volleyball, hockey, soccer,
yeah.
You know, kind of whatever their flavor is. We have enough opportunities for them to get a lot of Beaver sports.
Well,
in.
There's going to be a lot of memories for them,
yeah.
I'm guessing. I mean, every time, and you know, I went to school here from 86 to 90. I'm dating myself, but every time I go by campus, I mean, the memories just come flooding back still today. And I live here. And
yeah.
And the goosebumps still go down. You know, it's just like, wow. I mean, I drive by here almost every day, but I see the houses I lived in when I was a senior and all the memories that were there that I can remember.
Nostalgia's a heck of a drug,
isn't it? Yeah, it is. It is. So for these folks who are coming back, even Eddie, who grew up here, he's still, I mean, he left and, you know, obviously has been living elsewhere. It still just brings back everything. It comes pouring back.
Eddie Acosta, Kelly Lewis, men's swimming and diving, John Murphy, men's hockey, Zuzana Tomchakova, women's hockey. Dr. Alan Murdoch will be receiving the Alumni Coaching Achievement Award, and Paul and Paige Hansen awarded the John Glass Honorary Letter Winner.
Cool.
I just had to do some Googling. I should have done that before. You mentioned football, and they'll be there at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Shrine Game is also this weekend. It's one of the coolest memories I still remember. Timmy Kelly. Little kid, he was the Shrine honoree that year.
Yeah.
And he was kicking footballs, could hardly walk.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see the joy on his face out on Chet Anderson Stadium was worth the price of admission and then some. The football program has had that tie now for well over 20 years. It's what a college is supposed to do, right?
Absolutely.
Giving back and supporting things.
Yeah, finding ways that you can partner with the community to uplift folks in that community. That's what higher education is about, but that's what sport's about. That's why people love sport, is because there is a visceral emotional connection to the way that we engage in sport. And the Shrine Game's a perfect example. It's that bond that the football program has had. That's just what we do. That's just who we are. And there are a lot of other situations in football and other sports where we have those connections. And I think those are integral to communities like Bemidji. They're integral to communities everywhere, but they make a difference here.
The screening clinic here has referred more kids to the Shriners hospitals than any other screening clinic there is.
Yes.
That right there tells you we're doing something right.
Absolutely.
It's changed lives.
It has.
I mean, and Joe Dunn is here. Joe's been helping put that thing together for...
Since day one.
Yeah, since day one. That brought the Shriners game here. So exciting to have that. I'm guessing the tailgate party will be rocking and rolling on Saturday, right? That usually kicks things off.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the weather forecast looks a little better than what it did earlier in the week. So, you know.
It's not tomorrow. That's good. High of 40-something tomorrow.
You know what? I've heard that we can deal with that. That's actually not cold.
Now, where you come from, Britt? Where do you come from? Where do you...
Southern Indiana, originally.
Okay. So, I mean, you've had some cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's snow and freezing temperatures, correct?
There's a lot of ice, yeah. Ice storms are a thing.
Not 20 below, I'm guessing, though.
No, not normally. But it's, like, there is no bad weather, only bad clothing, right?
Right.
Like,
well,
that's the thing.
If you can layer, you've already figured it out. I mean, yeah, yeah.
And I bought 2 pairs of snow boots last week, guys.
Wow.
Doubled up because I was like, I don't actually know what I need.
Let's hope you don't need them for several more months. I mean, we could get lucky.
I got told in the office the other day that if I didn't have any, like, yesterday, that I was behind, and then I panicked, and that's why I now have 2 pairs.
Well, you're prepared, but
two is better than none.
Let's just hope it's not snowing. I mean, it could. They're right. It could be snowing tomorrow, but it won't be. But
you will need to get boots for your dog, too.
Yes, yes. Have those. She's been set for a while. Okay. So
she boots for your dog?
She tends to get new things before I get new things, if we're being
honest.
That's all
right. Why would you need boots for your dog? I have a dog, and she goes out in 20 below weather, and she's just fine.
You got a Weimer on her.
No, I have a Mastiff.
Equally as large.
She could wear my boots.
Yeah, they don't care.
The smaller dogs need
the boots? Smaller
dogs. Okay, well, I've learned something new today.
Do not want to go outside when it's freezing cold.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a Heinz 57. She's a chocolate lab mix, but she got tiny little paws, and she's almost 12. So she gets what she wants. Yeah.
Boots are good.
Yeah.
Does Stark have boots?
Yes.
I got to see a picture of that. I got to get Kelly to make me a picture of that. She's probably sold the boots.
No, we bought them.
Okay.
All right. It's like 25 below. You don't want to go outside. It's impossible for a dog to do what he needs to do with 3 paws off the ground.
All right.
So he just put boots on.
Again, I've learned something new today.
You've lived in this state a lot longer than I have, Bess.
I guess my dog's just big enough that she doesn't care.
Yeah, she does not care. Also, Saturday, Affinity Plus Family Day at the Chet.
That's right.
It's a heck of a deal.
Oh, it's a great deal. I love that. I love that that's part of their sponsorship opportunity and something that they really put forward. Again, community connection. So, you know, 2 adult tickets, 2 children's tickets for $20, and then 4 hot dogs and 4 waters for $20. Sounds like a perfect day to get out and watch football.
And it's going to be nice. I mean, it's going to be 60 degrees still. So. Yeah. And they are good. I mean, the Beaver football team's been good for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, but which we've been fortunate. But, yeah, this team is good. It's unfortunate they lost those 2 games early. But obviously they've come back strong.
We play fun football. I love watching
that is for
play.
Sure.
The risk-reward part of it, you know what? Like, let's take some chances. Let's be daring.
I can't remember a boring football game from this program in a long time.
I don't get an opportunity to read many of the nuggets of information I have about our offense. Because they score too fast.
Yeah.
They'll have a 7-play, 80-yard drive that takes a minute and 45 seconds.
Yeah, or 30 seconds.
Air it out.
And what was it, 59 to 10 or something?
14.
Yeah, awesome.
My Knott's had some health issues.
Well, and I mean, traditionally the Beavers have dominated those Beavers. But
they're 21-1 all time.
Yeah.
Enough said.
But, I mean, you got to take care of business. I mean, I think the team would agree that they should have won those first 2 games and made some mistakes.
CSP's 0-5. Doesn't mean they can't be 1-5 after Saturday.
That is correct.
Got to play the game.
And from a Beaver perspective, I think they know they got to run the table here if they want to try to do what they did a year ago. One game at a time.
They know.
So, hockey.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with hockey much, Britt? Indiana, that's not Hockey Haven.
Indiana is not Hockey Haven, no. Outside of the street hockey that I played growing up, that was about my only interaction. Sports Illustrated for Kids used to have hockey players in it all the time, so I had those posters up. But, prior to women's hockey a couple weeks ago, our women's hockey home opener, I had not been to an in-person hockey game since I was in law school. Indiana used to have the Indiana Ice up in Indianapolis, and so... that was a cheap way to go out with law school buddies and get, you know, $5 tickets and $2 beers or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that was the last in-person hockey that I watched. And so I've had to really kind of up my hockey knowledge. My wife is a big hockey fan. She grew up watching UNO hockey.
Okay.
And so she and her father went to those games all the time.
That's Nebraska-Omaha.
Yep.
And she probably doesn't like Bemidji State because Bemidji State had Nebraska-Omaha's number.
Oh.
Does she remember that?
Oh, and her dad remembers that very well.
Yeah. But so do we.
He's all in for Bemidji now. So he's a big Bemidji hockey fan. But, you know, she's taught me a lot about hockey and I've asked a lot of questions. First two women's home games, I was asking a lot, and I sat up kind of in the media section and where our filmers were, and you know, they'd say something and be like, okay, please explain why that just happened. So I'm still learning. I'll get it.
Well, like any sport, I mean, just because you're the athletic director, I mean, you're not going to know the ins and outs of everything. In hockey, I mean, it takes a little while to understand what offsides is and icing and some of those things.
Watching it from up top, I really like watching it from a little higher perspective the other day just because I could draw some parallels with sports that I'm more familiar with and in the way that you move on offense and defense and some of the rotations and things like that. And even some of the rules, once you see them, it's a little easier to get used to, but still learning it. Doesn't mean that, again, Hoffman is going to be the number one fan, so he says, but he hasn't seen me celebrate a goal yet, I don't think. And I try to be, you know, reserved and even keeled as much as possible, but I feel like if you spent any time with me during a game, you know that all bets are off at that point. In other spaces of the world, I feel like, you know, trying to be that even keeled and, you know, cool, calm, and collected is an asset, but at games, I'm like, I cheer. Like, I'm going to cheer. I'm going to high-five people. I'm going to yell a lot because that's just what we do.
I understand you got a wee bit excited after the overtime winner.
just a little bit. I have this big honking class ring that I wear from college, and the side effect I'll show you guys of banging on the glass is I actually bent the ring from smacking on the glass trying to get the coach's attention to tell them good job. So now my ring is permanently like disfigured. So
What is more your sport background? What would you say is your sport?
Well, I played soccer in college, and so I think by default, a lot of folks would say that was my sport. Honestly, softball was my best sport growing up. I'm from Indiana, so basketball, like, everybody plays basketball, right? Yep. And I was, like, 5 feet nothing in high school as a freshman. So, I did play high school basketball for one very painful year, and then went to soccer and softball and kind of made that my thing. But, I like watching all sports. I actually really love watching baseball. I love watching baseball. I'm still learning tennis. I love tennis at the college level because if you go to an in-person tennis match, it's loud. You know,
really?
The student athletes, like, they're cheering one another on. And just, like, being able to be in that space. You know, when you go watch professional tennis, like, you know, the tennis and golf clap, right? Like,
correct.
It's pretty quiet, pretty respectable. And you still have to be quiet in college, but, like, you get a little bit of that rowdiness. And we get a lot of our international students through some of those sports. And that, to me, is such a value added to any athletic department. And so I've really enjoyed that aspect of some of these sports, like a tennis or a golf or things like that, because you get to meet these student athletes who bring so much of their culture and who they are and their family background and get to share that and partake in that.
Men's hockey team now has 5 Europeans.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
2 Swedes, 2 Finns, and a Pole.
That's right.
That has to help. It expands. Yeah. People are like, they don't know how to say it.
Right.
But they're asking questions about Bemidji State.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yep. Put that footprint out there.
That's right. I don't know how to pronounce their town name either.
Well, you probably didn't know how to pronounce Bemidji at one point in time either. And Britt probably didn't either.
You know,
I didn't.
I think I lucked my way into it the first time. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't make that I a long E. And, you know, kind of just lucked into it, honestly.
Well,
I learned very quickly.
So, I mean, soccer and softball, and obviously soccer is a huge deal.
Yeah,
I mean, here the women's soccer team has been, traditionally the last few years.
Goal this year.
Yeah, but traditionally, obviously, they've been so good the last few years. I mean, you're going to have your ebbs and flows, but So through soccer realms, had you heard of Bemidji before you did all of this?
Yep, totally. So soccer was really one of the first introductions to Bemidji State that I had. And because of the vast success that the program has had in recent years, and I really became kind of intimately acquainted with the program when I started serving on the regional advisory committee for the NCAA. I was on the women's soccer RAC.
Oh, so you would select who would be the teams.
Yep, and so I was on that at the regional level, and then last year I was on it at a national level. And so at that national level, you really deep dive into every region, including the region that you represent. And you learn a lot about, you look at a lot of stats, you look at a lot of numbers, RPI, performance indicator, all of those things, and, you know, you get down to the nitty-gritty of it. So I knew a lot about Bemidji.
Yeah, I mean, probably more than other applicants, I would guess, just by virtue of that experience, right? I mean, because you'd see the job come up and then you applied, but you were doing all of this long before then. You had no idea that, hey, that might be my future home?
Right, yeah. No, I had no idea that. Universe is mysterious in that way. Yeah. You know, you look back and, you know, you see the connections, and I think that's just what's so cool about literally living life, right?
Right,
you find yourself in situations and you look back at the things that led you there and you're like, wow, breadcrumb. I just think that's so cool. To the goal scoring thing. So last year, National Committee, we were talking about what it would look like to change those overtime rules. And so from a health and safety standpoint, when you're looking at the data and when we were looking at the data, and the coaches and everybody, you know, the data that was presented to us was, okay, most of these games or matches that are tied at the end of 90 minutes, when they're going into overtime for another half an hour or whatever, like something like two-thirds or three-quarters of them, I think it was three-quarters, we're still ending in ties. So we're not really getting to a resolution, but we're putting more miles on legs. And in college soccer, you know, when we're playing Friday, Sunday, like, we're just taking a beating at it. And so, you know, the data kind of supported from a health and safety piece. And now that we're in it, it's like, oh, my gosh, where did all these ties come from? It's kind of that, like, almost like confirmation bias. You're like, oh my gosh, we never had this many ties before. I think we did. We just weren't as cognizant of it. I am in the camp and always have been, like, I love PKs. Like, let's not have a tie. It's like women's hockey, you know? Like, let's go to overtime. And then if we don't have something, let's go to, you know, penalties.
Everybody wants a winner.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even as a former soccer player, like, I respect overtime and ties and offside and all of those things, but at the end of the day, like, as a fan now especially, I'm like, let's always go to PKs, let's always put that pressure situation on and just see what happens.
It is kind of frustrating that there couldn't be a better way to end such a long, arduous effort.
Yeah.
That it comes down to that.
When
which
you're like seven and a half miles in, you're
which essentially becomes, you know, either a somebody's going to feel horrible because they kicked the ball and missed, or the goalie got extremely lucky and guessed right and they kicked it into the goalie. I mean, that's really, after all that's said and done, and a lot of these games are 0-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially at the level when you get to the national tournament, because they're kind of equal, you know, level playing field, or when you see the top teams in the NSIC playing, it's probably going to be 0-0.
Yeah.
Because they're so good. But I don't know what the resolution is, other than I agree with you. I don't like ties. I mean, let's come up. I mean, I'd rather see a penalty kick or a shootout win a game.
I think I'd rather have rock, paper, scissors than penalty kicks.
Well,
you know, we
at least you got a chance in rock, paper, scissors.
We could put the coaches out there to do PKs and just, like, see what the coaches
there
do.
You go.
You know, no more miles, no more stress on our student athletes. Like, let's just let the coaches take center stage. I take gym all the time. Like,
I mean, but those
I'm
games
betting
could,
on gym every time.
But, so, I mean, you try to look for resolutions. Okay, what's the resolution to this? I mean, do you play overtime forever? I mean, you know, obviously in the
Tom had a great quote to us, hockey a few years back. Schultze, we all got to go home at some point.
That's the truth. That's
so
there's some truth to that.
Save it for the playoffs. But even, I mean, at your level, then you're saying, okay, let's save it for the playoffs and just do overtime. Well, you can't do that in soccer. I mean, it literally might go for another 6 hours. I mean, hockey, at least you know somebody's going to score. And
just from sheer exhaustion.
Yeah, right. I mean.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, when we zoom kind of out from soccer, right? Like, soccer is a very international sport.
Right.
It's the world's most popular sport.
Yeah.
And
they haven't figured it out.
Well, in spaces other than the U.S., you're looking at systems that run on promotion and relegation. And so those ties do have meaning then, because that really does change the calculus of how you your standings are. And that one tie could be the difference between getting relegated.
Right.
You know, and like, so you can still kind of have
and that
some
whole thing's
satisfaction.
Totally but that's totally confused me, that whole relegation thing.
I love
thing.
Pro and, yeah, I
and,
love pro
and if you're in soccer, I think you understand it. For people, it's just totally confusing to me. But I get the
class,
whole...
The winner of Class A baseball plays Double A baseball next year.
Right, I get that.
The loser of Double A baseball, they go back to single A.
You have to go back to single A because you're not good enough.
The Cubs go to Triple A and play the Indianapolis Indians.
Which would be interesting, I guess, if they did it that way, but... I like the conclusion, and I think hockey's done it great. The 3-on-3 overtime in a regular season also makes it fun. It's way more entertaining, even though it's, you know, kind of hokey. It's better than a shootout as far as, I think, entertainment value and ending a game. I mean, most of the games end in the 3-on-3.
I mean, if they want to put me on the ice, I will live all of those childhood fantasies.
Have you skated before?
Like, ever?
Yes. Can you ice skate?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I could, like, skate to save my life, kind of like swimming. Like, yeah, I could do it. I am probably overly confident, but, like, I'm a heck of a rollerblader, so...
Oh,
like,
then you should be able to ice skate. There is a little bit of correlation balance-wise, I think, that you'd be okay. Have you ever been on ice skates before?
I have, yes.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Then you know the drill. You should be able to do it.
You said it yourself. 5 foot nothing. You don't have far to fall.
That's right.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah. Always looking at the bright side, children.
And hockey's the great equalizer.
I would not want to see Kareem on skates.
If you can skate.
It's a long way to fall.
It doesn't matter how big the opponent is. You can get around him pretty quickly. I always like to see those 6'10" defensemen going, oh, this can be a heyday for me. They'll never be able to catch up.
That 6'10" defenseman from Omaha
Schuster
signed a gazillion-dollar contract in the NHL just because he was 6'8".
Absolutely.
He was terrible.
He took advantage of it. Although, I must say, now more than ever, taller hockey players are a lot more talented than they used to be.
Supposedly the number one pick in the NBA draft. He's 7'4", and he can play point guard.
He's from France, is that right?
Somewhere,
did I read that right?
Wow.
Dropped like 37 the other day, like 21 off of threes. Yeah.
And he's 7'4". Well, he's practically not even, I mean, he's practically throwing it down at the net.
I saw a photo. He was a... It was a photo, so it's hard to tell really what was happening, but I'm assuming he was kind of on help side defense. And so you know, you see the guy with the ball, you see that guy's defender, but then you just see this guy's arm just reach out, and he's like palming the ball. And his wingspan is just enormous. I mean, man, if you can move and you can shoot like a point guard and
he blocked
handle,
a shot,
oof.
Got the loose ball, dribbled down the court, wide open three. 7'4".
The times they are a-changing.
Yeah. BSUBeavers.com is your go-to place for all the information of everything that's going on this weekend. And there is a lot.
There is a lot.
Volleyball's at home this weekend. Soccer's at home this weekend. Football's at home this weekend. Men's hockey's home this weekend. Hall of Fame game, Shrine game, Affinity Plus Family Day at the Chet. Women's hockey broadcast at Minnesota. Football broadcast. Kevin Reed is back, everyone.
Well, yeah, it's good.
He'll be back Friday. He used to work with us. Took a job with the Baltimore Orioles. Miss Bemidji. He's coming back.
Yeah, I'm excited to work with him again.
He'll finish up the football season now that hockey started. He will also do the soccer game on Sunday. So we've got football, soccer Sunday, two men's hockey. We got 6 games this weekend in the Beaver Arena.
Let's go.
Back that time of year.
Back in full swing.
No Hope place to see. We'd rather be.
Exactly. Yeah. If I wasn't busy, I'd be bored.
Amen.
Well, no reason to be bored
like this,
here this week.
You're not going to be bored. Britt, thank you much. See you out and about this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All the information for the week also at BeaverRadioNetwork.com. 6 games this weekend. Housekeeping note, the tavern is closed next Wednesday for a private get-together. Beaver men's hockey's off next weekend anyway.
Right.
So we will not have a Tom Cerutori show here. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks might not be happening because it's MEA Friday,
it's
Wednesday
be
night.
It's going to be you and Kevin.
Okay. All right.
So No coaches show next Wednesday. We'll be back the following Wednesday, the 19th.
All right.
There is a ton of stuff going on. Hope to see you all out and about this weekend right here with the Beaver Radio Network.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.